Our King rules in grace and mercy. So grace to you from Christ our King. Amen. We meditate this morning on words from Luke's Gospel, the story of the rich young ruler. It's Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." "All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." This is the word of our God. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, our loving Lord and Savior, dear fellow heirs of eternal life and God's kingdom, as we started looking last week at the pictures from the trip to China, I'd like to take you to the third school that I got to teach at in a place called Guiyang. It's out in south central China. On our map, it would be about where you would find Oklahoma or Texas. These are Chinese students and their teachers with a few of us from America down in the front row. You can kind of pick those ones out. But the students are mostly Hmong, ethnic group, many Yi ethnic group, one that I hadn't heard about before. There are scores of ethnic groups all over China, and some are ethnic Chinese. I'm not sure exactly what that means. But it's a group where they actually have ethnic students from all over, especially up in the mountainous regions. This is an area where the Hmong fled to years ago. There are millions of Hmong in China, but they were trying to escape persecution in other places. The Hmong have been persecuted all over Southeast Asia, and that's partly why many of them came to America too. In Chinese, they call them Miao. It sounds like a cat. If I say it right, that's how they say Hmong in Chinese. And the poor students come in from the mountain villages and come to this school. You might think, as you hear the words of this text from Luke chapter 18, Jesus with the rich young men, that it probably wouldn't have much to do with these students, maybe not too much with teenagers in general. You might not even think it has much to do with you. Most Americans would say, "I'm not wealthy." Or maybe pastors tend to increase this problem of not realizing that this does apply to us by saying things like, "Well, Jesus was talking to a man who worshiped his wealth." So then if you step back from that and say, "Well, I don't worship my wealth," no problem. Why would this be preached to me? Poor students, students in America still living at home or cared for by their parents. I don't have wealth. What does this matter to me? It looks gold, but it's not. It's a statue on the highway up toward the school. It was a good 45-minute drive from old Guiyang up the mountain to new Guiyang. I guess it's landlocked down below. But this reminded me of Christ the King, the Lion of Judah, and the fact that he has all the riches of this world. What we would consider riches, especially in our economic situation now, they're advertising buy gold. Everybody thinks you should buy gold. I'm reminded of something somebody told me about the guards at Fort Knox watching over the gold bullion bars there. It used to be this way. I don't know if it is anymore, but they used to let tourists come in there. The guards were not at all worried that the tourists would run off with the gold. Apparently, one bar of gold bullion is too heavy to pick up with your bare hands. Isn't it strange that if we can't pick up a bar of gold, we would think we can pick up God's gold, the riches of his kingdom? We could not pick up a statue like that. I don't think they've got guards around a statue worried that anybody's going to steal it. God's kingdom, very similar. The wealth and the riches that God wants to give have to be gifts. We need, first of all, if we're going to enjoy God's riches, to be emptied of our wealth and to find out how empty wealth really is. Enjoy the riches of God's kingdom and empty the wealth. Threesome. And that was one of the nicer motorcycles. Because it was a mountainous region in Guiyang, they had quite a few mountain bikes. Most of the other cities in China would be what we would call scooters. And they would sometimes have three or four people on them too, or pretty much everything that somebody owned or had to haul that day. One man in a picture I could show you from Shenzhen was hauling propane tanks on a motor scooter. I didn't know whether they were full or not, but kind of a scary ride even if they were supposedly empty. But I couldn't help thinking of something a businessman in the area told me this week. He was really what we would say bent out of shape. A local businessman who talks to a lot of people who have all sorts of stories to tell him that they don't typically tell anyone else. Barbers hear a lot of stories. He told me about one local client who, not so many years ago, told his barber that he was worth $104 million. Just one of those things you share. 2008 came, and the same customer came in complaining, "I've lost everything." A few months later, the man pulls up in a brand new Mercedes. So his barber had to ask, "What do you mean telling me you lost everything? I don't drive a Mercedes. What's with you?" Well, you just have to understand that when someone in my position says I've lost everything, that means I'm down to about $2 million. It's all relative. Someone who loses everything feels just as bad if it's $102 million and he's only left with two, as you and I might with a lot less. I'm reminded of a boss I had one time that walked out of the house with tears in his eyes. What happened? Just a split second. I lost $5,000 in the stock market. To me, that would be like losing $5, dollar for dollar comparison. But it ruined his whole day. The ones that own nothing but a motorcycle lose that. That's a big loss. It really depends on where you're coming from. You may be used to driving a pickup truck. This pickup of spools of wire going to some construction site has a man driving it. You can just barely see the reins there, and a horse or two out front, probably just one, plodding along the street and all the traffic, and that's the best he's got. We went by too fast to get more than just the wire on the wagon. But if you lose your pickup, he would feel the same losing this. Jesus has lessons to teach. Lessons about the kingdom. This young man who came to Jesus, according to Mark's gospel, actually must have been very excited because he ran up to Jesus and fell on his knees and begged for an answer. "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" When he said that to Jesus, Jesus said, you call me good. No one is good except God alone. Jesus is trying to help the man realize that if he's really good, as the man says he is, then he's God. There's a lesson deeper here than just a good teacher or a rabbi to come and try to find this out from. And how do you get to the point in your soul that you think you can earn eternal life? But aren't we all like that? We all have this, what our confessions call the opinio legis, this idea in our mind that if I just try harder, I'll get it right with God. He'll smile on me if I get good grades or if I'm popular with my friends or pay my taxes. And if I don't do this or that, he'll frown on me. So it's in our hearts. We can't ever shake it this side of heaven. This constant attitude that if only I can get it right, then I'll be okay with God. Well, this rich young man had lost nothing. He's still got everything. There's been no stock market crash for him. He's not lost a pickup or a wagon. He's not lost his motorcycle. None of this stuff is gone. And yet he still feels an aching inside of his soul. He's one of those I tried to describe to my friend in the area here with his stories about customers. I tried to tell him, you know, you can be rich and have everything and yet have nothing. This rich young man had nothing. His soul was empty. And he comes to Jesus. At least he came to the right place. So Jesus is going to help him. And this may sound harsh at first. Because Jesus' answer to him is, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. Old Testament commandments repeated in the New Testament tell us this is God's moral law, the holy, immutable will of God. Jesus is explaining something to him, but Jesus is not the lawgiver. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Moses was the lawgiver. Jesus is trying to help him. He says, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Two young students in that Guiyang classroom. I've kept all the commandments since I was a boy. What do I still lack? What's wrong? What's missing? And Jesus tells him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. One thing. What is the one thing in your life that you feel you could not live without? For this man, it was his wealth. For you, it might be your health or your house or your family and friends. What is that one thing that has your heart? Whatever has your heart is your idol. Whatever has your deepest affection, if it comes between you and your God, it's a false god. Jesus is doing surgery on the man's heart. But when he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Have you seen the pictures? The two boys this past week coming home from one of our Lutheran day schools went to their grandparents' house. And their father in Winthrop, Minnesota, went over to pick them up, as he always did. Driving home, was turning off the highway into the family driveway, and a neighbor rear-ended the car. The father and his little daughter in the front seats survived. The two boys in the back seat died the next morning. Two in one day. I got an email from our friend and brother, Mark Santelman, that's been helping us try to start our prison ministry in Lionel Lakes. He says the at-fault driver is their next-door neighbor, a fine, upstanding member of the community and devastated by being at fault in an accident that killed her neighbor boys. But according to Mark Santelman, the children, the classmates of Trevor and Dylan Summers at our Lutheran elementary school, shared with three towns there, Winthrop, Gibbon, and one other one, the children are all convinced that Dylan and Trevor are in heaven. The children are doing fine without any counselors hauled in from the public education system to help them deal with their grief. Their teachers have been teaching them about eternal life through Jesus Christ, our King. It's the adults. The adults are really struggling with this. I checked out on Google this morning some of the comments that are being made. You know what they're all fixated on? Seat belts. Apparently the boys in the back seat didn't have seat belts on. So somebody has to write a comment about when will adults ever learn? Somebody said maybe she was texting the one that ran into the car. No evidence of that, but we have to throw that out. So they fixate on the seat belts and the texting. And I'm always reminded of a pastor's son, just retired now in Sun City, Arizona, who not that many years ago in college was riding with four other college students. You've heard me tell that story. He was the only one in the car that was wearing a seat belt. The car was totaled. Everyone else walked away. And he's a quadriplegic. He had his seatbelt on. You don't know. The accident was so bad, maybe it wouldn't have made any difference for the boys in the back seat anyway. Everybody wants to theorize that maybe they were so close to pulling into the driveway, they just clicked off their seatbelts. And of course, now all the moms are on the internet saying, I'll never let my kid click off his seatbelt again until I stop the car. But where is the real message of Christ the King? Our Lord Jesus, who said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. These are the verses right before our text. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And that was Mark Santelman's comment. If only we could have the faith of the children who are sure that these baptized classmates of theirs are with the Lord Jesus in heaven. And those smiles are even bigger now. All the games they played on this earth, they're just breaking loose in heaven with joy to be home with God. They're not sad. The loss is here. When you put your children in the hands of Christ the King, through the tears, there is that comfort. There is that hope. We don't grieve like those who have no hope. And the parents can know they will see their children again with God in heaven. That could be today. The last trumpet may sound today. Christ the King said he would come. He says, enjoy the riches of God's kingdom, and he will give us the wonder of entry into that kingdom, a blessing only God can give. Thank God when he takes away the idols from your heart. I thank God for the last two calls I've had in recent years, because in each one of them, God put it in my heart to repent of my own materialism and come to that point that I could say in my heart of hearts to God, if you want me to, I can walk away from everything. That's a blessing. Isn't it a blessing if God makes the portfolio fail enough that the portfolio can no longer be your God? Where is the confidence? If it's in your health and the strength of your body, maybe when God takes that away, you can look more to God and say, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give you thanks, for you have become my salvation. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. We don't just sing those words for communion just to sing the words. They're our hope and our confidence. He walked away very sad, but Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. These are students at the cafeteria, which may not have any tables or chairs, I don't know, and eating their bowls of rice up on the balcony. We offered several times at this school to eat with the students. We really wanted to mix with them and get to know them better. But for whatever reason, the teachers would not take us there. They would always take us out to dinner, which are stories in themselves. But look at the joy on the faces of the students. The joy even at this church, the one Christian church in Guiyang, which is mostly by Hmong and Hmong pastors that are very concerned about the Word of God and all of its truth and purity, these are their benches. Look any different than from what you're sitting on? They're not just wooden. They're awful. But that's where they come to worship the Lord, at the one Christian church, because they have got to that point where Job did when he hit rock bottom and had lost everything. It's in the middle of the book of Job, which is all about suffering, that oldest book of the Bible, and he's lost everything. His friends keep telling him, it's because you did something. See, they've got the opinio legis in their head too. You did something, Job. That's why all your family is dead except your wife. You've lost all your possessions. It must have been something really bad that you did. And Job keeps crying out to God, why? Tell me why. And God doesn't answer. And finally, in the middle of the book, at the depth of his despair, he soars on high with hope in God. This beautiful Easter passage that you've heard so many times is from the rock bottom of Job. I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the end he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another, how my heart yearns within me. God gave him entry into the kingdom of God when he showed him the emptiness of wealth. Then Job was soaring in faith. These are choir members at that one Christian church in Guiyang. Singing a cantata, I should show some of you the music of it. It was written apparently by some Western missionary, but it was written for the Chinese, and all the music is done with the do-re-mi scale and numbers. You don't have the treble clef and the bass clef in there, music like we're used to. Beautiful, beautiful songs, and the joy in their eyes there to sing the praises of the Lord. The building has no heat. Anything south of the Yangtze River is not required by code to have heat in China. That's a lot of people. But they're there to sing the Lord's praises, and that's only half the choir. This I'm going to have to save for another time. I want to show you what they fed us. When you come to that point where you look at God as your greatest treasure, the fruits of faith follow. When he in his mercy washes out of our hearts the sins of greed and materialism, and you learn to say, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse it deep within. You can go where no one else can. I don't have to do surgery on myself. When the Lord does the surgery, it works. Can't do surgery on yourself. At least most people can't. One of my daughters had a professor that claimed that you could do brain surgery on yourself because your brain doesn't have nerves. As far as I know, nobody tried it. You may have known some people who think, maybe you think they did try it, but nobody that I know of. There was a man, though, in the news who supposedly set up the mirrors and steeled his nerves and took out his own pancreas. But you can't see sin with the naked eye. You can just confess it and receive the Lord's forgiveness and realize this Lord Jesus, who saw the rich young man that came to him, loved him deeply. He wanted him to be close. And so what he told the man was surgery to take the idols out of his heart and lead him to the point where he could have joy in all the generations, joy in Jesus. And joy also for foreign teachers who come, and you don't want them to eat in your dining hall, so you take them out. I think the first day we went out for lunch, that was lamb soup. Hadn't had that before. The second day was, must have been fish soup. That's where we are for this. I can't quite see it in the picture, but somewhere in that bowl of fish soup, maybe they haven't put it in there yet, will be the head and the tail, because that's what they like. This is how we got the dinner. Outside there was a fish tank. That's his scale to make sure he doesn't cheat us. Our host was concerned that maybe he wasn't weighing it right. That's arguing in Chinese.
There goes dinner.
About 45 minutes later, we were seated at the table. This is the principal of Guiyang. I call him my brother Paul. Sound Bible teacher, as near as I can tell, very concerned that the children get the Word of God and its truth and purity. That's why they invited us in the first place. That's why they want us to come back. But he was quite a character. You'll see him in a minute here doing his host duty of serving Joyce Radloff. He was very kind. Paul did not want to be impolite, so he offered the head and the tail to us, and I just said, "More for you. More for you." And he was delighted to use his chopsticks and get that, you know, delicate meat there. This is the soup. There's a propane tank under the table that's heating that up. They do this in many places, so you're sitting right by the fire. Joyce is asking for soup. Just juice. That's Paul. More juice. More? The first place I had gone, they kept wanting to give me more and more rice, so I learned how to say, "I'm full." Bala, bala, it means I'm full, so stop filling my bowl. When I said that to Paul, a little bit after that picture was taken, I said, "Bala." He says in perfect English, "I don't think so." And puts more fish in my bowl. Poor people who know the Lord. They'll give you the last of what they have because they know him. The cross is central in their life. They've come to know him as Lord and Savior, and the fruits of faith will follow. They know what Jesus was saying when this leper ran up to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." When our consciences trouble us, we ought to go to Jesus like lepers, beggars on our knees, and say, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And see the smiling face of God, the cross of Jesus Christ, how he always says, "I am willing, be clean." And immediately, the man was cured of his leprosy. You remember the little man in the sycamore fig tree, the tax collector. Obviously had cheated people. His name was Zacchaeus. Jesus says, "I must dine at your house today." When he went over Zacchaeus' house, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. If I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." It's the Lord's love and his kindness that does surgery on our souls, and with the righteousness that comes from God, gives us the contentment, the tranquility, and the peace of knowing that the Lord is our Savior, that all is ours because of him. When you try to say goodbye to the Chinese, you know what they say? I don't know what the Chinese words are for goodbye, because every time we tried to learn, they just said, "Bye-bye." Entry into God's kingdom, the riches of God's grace. May God empty us of our own riches and fill us with his. Amen. Please rise.